listening to Not So Live from Asteroid G, brought to you from a bottled city in the middle of space. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
Your buddy Mike the Ghoul here, gonna try to find himself at the bottom of a bottle as well while he's at it. My God, can this lady drink?
Nice segue. Well stitched together right there. We are discussing Supergirl, the movie that has just recently come out from the DCU, the second film and, like, sixth, seventh project, depending upon what everything you count in the DCU. It is not doing well in theaters, unfortunately.
But, I see that, yeah.
But, you know, it's still a fun movie, and we both had a good time in theaters, so maybe it'll find its legs.
I hope so. Like, I don't know a whole lot about, like, the lore of Supergirl to begin with, so I don't know how accurate, like, this was to her backstory. Like, did that really happen to Krypton? I didn't know that. I didn't realize that was a thing.
So this is based on the comic book Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow. And within that story, this is what happens. But you have to bear in mind that she's had more reboots than Superman has at this point.
Right, right.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, what's canon, what's not?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think this is kind of canon for now, but it could just as easily be something else. Like, the whole spaceship that she lands with and how everything happens. Her last reboot was in the early 2000s, and then she landed in the middle of Gotham City and Batman found her before Superman was there. So it's like every decade or two decades, they reboot her just like they reboot everyone else. And this is the continuity for now.
Yeah, I mean, it worked.
It does work.
It worked.
It, like, does work.
I felt bad for her. Like, I really did. Like, I was like, damn, like, not only does she not know what the world was, everything she's known is now dying. Like, I get why she's so fucked up.
Yeah, generally it's accepted that Supergirl, in whatever version she's in now, because, you know, the continuity's fluid, she at least was Kryptonian on Krypton, and she was grown up when, like, 12 or 16 or something, when the planet explodes. So she has memories of a planet, whereas Clark is just Earthling. He doesn't even know any better. So he just, like, while he has these powers, he knows he's Kryptonian, he views his home planet as Earth. So they've always had this kind of, like, difference of opinion ever since her reboot. And this movie only puts that into starker contrast because, while, and we'll get to this, she wasn't born on Krypton, she was born in the bottled city that split off from Krypton during the Great Cataclysm. She still has this viewpoint of a home planet that she can presumably never go back to.
Right, right. And, you know, the home that she knew was destroyed before she even got to, like, know the home that she knows. So, like, it's like a whole tragic thing. But, like, I mean, it kind of worked. Like, it was a good fake out because I didn't know it was coming. When she was like, the gods aren't that cruel, it didn't last a day, I was like, oh, was it like minutes? I'm like, oh, no shit. It was like her entire life. I get why she's so messed up.
Like,
I understand now.
16, 20 years that she was in this bottled city not knowing any better. And then that's gone. Now, we can get into some spoilers and some theory crafting down the road about whether or not that bottled city is actually destroyed or not. But as far as within the bounds of this specific movie, she thinks she's one of two Kryptonians left. And while Clark is happy-go-lucky Kansas boy, she is not doing so well.
No. She's not a fan of Earth. And, you know, she comes here and, like, she's speaking Kryptonian and like, what are you doing, Clark? You think she's going to speak English? Like, come on.
Like, doesn't know
how
the
are you
language.
Not prepared for this?
Well, I guess that's a nice thing about the fact that they're trying to clearly establish for Superman as well that this isn't the same Superman of the Christopher Reeve era, where when he lands, he has all of Kryptonian and Earthling knowledge in his brain so he can just operate. This is just a dude that's grown up on Earth. He doesn't know any better. He knows a part of a translation that the robots told him in the Fortress of Solitude, and the rest of it, he's just like,
It's like, that's my point, though. He's got all this tech, and he's got, you know, the robots inside, and he's got four or whatever the guy. Like, you can't tell me that guy could have been like, hey, maybe you want to take a Duolingo or two.
Nah, you see, those robots in the Fortress of Solitude are like sea monkeys. You just throw a crystal in the water, and they grow, you know?
Fair enough, yeah. Again, with the dynamic, like, I get it. He's trying to make her comfortable, but doesn't know how, and, like, he's trying to be gentle. Like, I get it, but, like, that, I was like, all right, come on, that's a little much.
Yeah.
So before we continue on, though, we do want to take a minute to thank our sponsor this week, InGen. Technology moves so quickly that you need to put your trust in a company that can keep up. 2 years ago, it was the blockchain. Last year, it was the metaverse. This year, it's AI. What's going to be next? Resurrecting dinosaurs from a piece of amber? Why, yes. In fact, that's exactly the next big innovation, and InGen is on the cutting edge of its development. Why invest in a digital dog that won't exist next year when you could buy your own velociraptor that's based on genetics from a million years ago? InGen, creating the future from the past. Thank you this week to our sponsor.
So the movie for Supergirl functionally picks up with her out in space. It's her 23rd birthday, and she's basically on a bender because for the last however many months or years she's been on Earth. And there, the movies are unclear about exactly how long she's been there. That she
definitely vague.
Yeah, she's been depressed and feels alone, even though she has Clark. She feels alone, and like Earth isn't her home. So she very often just goes out into space and finds a planet with a red sun and drinks. Because being around a red sun is the only way that her powers won't kick in, at least not as bad, and she can actually have herself a nice bender. While she's on one planet, she runs into Ruthie, a girl with a really nice sword, who is trying to look for warriors that will fight for her to take out Krem of the Yellow Hills, a bad dude that just killed her whole family. Kara wants nothing to do with it, but she does help fight off a guy that tries to steal Ruthie's sword. But when Krem somehow stumbles on the two of them, steals Kara's ship, and poisons her dog, giving her 3 days to find the cure, Kara basically has to go on a road trip adventure with Ruthie to find Krem, get the antidote, and presumably help Ruthie with her quest for revenge, or at least try and talk her out of it. All while saving Crypto in the process. It's a quest for a dog, is really what it is. And it's, on the one hand, I can kind of see why people aren't entirely thrilled with the movie, because it is a very simple storyline. It's not like it's trying for anything major, and it's not trying to be this big, bodacious superhero movie. It's a very small story about a girl who's basically clinically depressed for good reasons, and right. It's basically watching her try to rebuild herself into some semblance of something.
Yeah, it's that find yourself mission kind of thing, you know? Where do I belong? Where's my home? What do I have? You know, like, everything sucks kind of thing. Very emo, but, like, you know, not. Because, you know, she's definitely a lot more fun than emo. But it's her growing story. And, like, you could say something, and I'm sure, like you said, the critics are going to say, like, simplicity of the story. But at the same time, like, at least you could follow that. Now, do you want to say the dog trope is played out? Maybe a little bit. Like, that's been in a lot of things. You know, I'm starting to feel, you can call it like the John Wick kind of cliche, almost, I guess is what you say, because that's kind of where it felt like it started for me. But overall, like, a solid story and solid character growth, and the visuals were good. I really enjoyed this for what it was. And I thought that as a follow-up to Superman, which we both liked as well, this was solid. Mm-hmm. And it didn't try to be too much. It was 108 minutes. Like, it didn't try to be a 140-minute take you on another storyline when you thought things were over kind of mission. Like, this was compact. It was good. Was it great? Nah, but at least it was good.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with you on this. Like, I don't necessarily see the John Wick thing, but that's only because Crypto was introduced in Superman. If we hadn't seen Crypto before and he was just riding on her ship with her and then suddenly dies, 100% I'm with you. That's a John Wick thing. But this is somewhat different because, yes, she does use Crypto as her crutch to her home, but like, Crypto is also his own character who was hanging out in another movie, so it's a little different. But yeah, no, like, the quest for dog revenge, yeah, I kind of get that. It's kind of darker, it's kind of grittier, it's doing its own thing. I don't think that's bad. It's not DCEU dark and gritty, it's just trying to not be Superman. And maybe that's what has people upset. Maybe they want something more like Superman, or I don't know, something longer and more. It's hard to know what audiences want at this point, because the superhero genre got beaten into the ground by the very people who built it up, Marvel.
Yeah, and like I said, there's something to be said for just like a solid movie that's this length too. Mm-hmm. It wasn't trying to be too much. And you get a lot of movies that try to be too much nowadays. And like, this was an expensive watch too. Like, I saw it in IMAX because I was like, all right, I haven't seen a movie in IMAX in a while. They say see this movie in IMAX, let me go. The theater was, I've forgotten how big it was. It was like 400 seats in there. The screen was the size of a three-story building. I'm like, my god, this is wild. And visually it was stunning. There was a lot of really good shots. Like, I heard some complaints about like the lighting, but I think if you see it in IMAX, I don't know. I'm not assuming you did, because I don't know what your theater's like there.
Crappy.
so I didn't think it was an IMAX, but I didn't want to assume. But to me, I didn't really notice that. So, like, did you notice anything about the lighting in the movie seeming like it was too dark? Because I heard that was a complaint from some reviewers, that it was just a dark-looking movie.
It wasn't too dark. There were a few areas that were quote-unquote muddy, especially the big climactic fight at the end. It's just basically a big CGI dust bowl, and I did feel like, in that particular instance, I get they're filming in probably the volume on a soundstage, and they can only do so much. I get it. Trying to film it out in a real desert with a real dust storm, maybe don't do that. Maybe do a different place that you're going to hold that fight, because the last fight was maybe a little too CGI over the top, not realistic. There was plenty of real sets. There was plenty of times where you could tell they're just doing wire work with a stunt woman and maybe just CGIing Millie Alcock's face onto the stunt woman's body. But otherwise, it looked like a lot of practical effects they were doing, which was really good. The last sequence being as muddy and CGI'd as it was.
It was, you know, one of those slow, like, you know, musical numbers, slow motion things, shit flying all over the place. Like, you know, you get those in movies all the time, and like, they're fun. But yeah, this was definitely tough to follow in that fight.
That
scene.
One
like,
particular moment with a terrible
what's with the
song.
Bad guy too. Oh yeah, the song choice was weak too. But like, what about what is this bad guy too? Like, who the hell even was he?
I don't think he's supposed to, like, from what I understand from the comic book, which I haven't read, he's not very much of a guy there, although he's different in the book, but he's not much of a villain. He's just kind of a placeholder. But I think that's because it doesn't matter what the villain is. That's not the point of the movie. Like, he is just a motivating factor to get Kara to get off her ass, but it doesn't really matter who it was. In fact, if it's too much of a villain, then that kind of takes away from the specific story that they're trying to tell about Kara.
Yeah, like, that's fair. That's
like,
fair.
Then you're having to balance their storyline against hers, and you have to figure out a parallel story. Just having him be this bad guy who likes to kill people and steal women gives just enough of impetus for Kara to show up without him getting in the way of her storyline of her, let's functionally say it, survivor's guilt and PTSD.
Yeah, and, like, the guy, they said he was, like, as strong as 1,000 people. Like, he was throwing Kara around a little bit. But, like, what really pissed me off at the end of the movie, though, to be honest, too, is why aren't you moving with the sun if you're the bad guys? I'm dying to know. Like, there's a planet, and it's got two suns orbiting it, a yellow and a green. And the green sun, obviously, that fucks up Kryptonians and all that. And, like, it is so easy for you to just stay in the sunlight of that green sun and not have to worry about her. Like, she can't get to you. So, like, I don't know why they get this need to go find her and everything. Just, like, let her die. Like,
I think
bad guy had no plans to make.
I think their assumption was that the green sun acting as kryptonite just straight up killed her. So they didn't need to worry. They just wanted to find her body. But instead, you are right. It was kind of stupid that they didn't. I mean, it's the same thing. They wanted to actually capture her body as a trophy. Because if it was me, once she's in the green sun and dying, I'm fucking flying somewhere else. I'm not sticking around. I don't need to be there anymore. I'm fine. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And he's got warp technology. She can't easily follow him. He can just warp to a new planet, and she's not catching up anytime soon. So, let's be honest, because he knows without anyone telling him that she's a Kryptonian, that's part of the reason why he was at the ship. He wanted to taunt her. But the thing is, this is a villain who makes his own problem, because Kara wanted nothing to do with anything. And if he hadn't shot her dog, she wouldn't have gotten involved.
I think, honestly, even if he just stole her ship, too, she might not have cared.
because she could just hitch a bus back to Earth and be fine. Yeah. She'd have to explain it to Clark somehow, but otherwise...
I know, right? And there was some funny in this movie, too. Like, like, I enjoyed the bus ride scene. Mm-hmm. Like, the little driver guy was awesome. Like, he was very funny. Like, sometimes these comic relief things could be a little much. He was good.
He sounded like he was voiced by Seth Rogen, too.
Yes! I thought the same thing!
Yeah. He does a lot of voice work now. He's funny. I liked a lot of it. I thought her in the bar was fun. I actually liked Lobo, although I kind of felt like he was squandered in this movie. Like, the villain didn't need more going on, but they definitely needed, like, 5 minutes or so more of Lobo to really set him in the movie better, because he feels very tacked on here.
He does. It's like, how do we shoehorn what the fans want and make Jason Momoa be Lobo in a movie and get him in there and have him not be directly the bad guy kind of thing? And, like, they did okay with that, but I could have used some more for him. But at the same time, like, maybe it wasn't as much because maybe he would have taken away from Kara's story.
I thought he showed up
at the right spots, but we could have used more. Like, less is more sometimes, but he was funny. And, you know, I would have liked to have seen a little more back and forth between him and Ruthie, because that scene in the jail cell too was awesome.
There are flaws for the film. It is definitely not perfect. Like, I see a lot of people giving it a B minus or so, which isn't bad. Like, that's a low 80%, however you want to put it right there. It's a decent score for it. I would kind of agree with that. I would have liked a little more in certain things. I would have liked a better practical conclusion. I think, honestly, the sequences that we had on the bottled city of Argo were fantastic. And while we get a good amount, I could have done with even more there. I have a feeling there's a lot of stuff that's on the cutting room floor just to keep it at a tight length so that it made plenty of ticket sales, which, unfortunately, it did not. So,
yeah. It feels like there's a 130-minute director's cut kind of thing in this movie. Like, there's 20 additional minutes in here that could have made it in. It would have been fine, I think.
Yeah, might have made it a little stronger in certain areas. This one I feel like could benefit from a director's cut. I didn't feel that with Superman. I just kind of felt like Superman needed a short intro before it to get me into it. Although I will admit, I've watched Superman 3 times now, and I don't have that strong opinion of it anymore. I really just really like the film now, because I know what I'm expecting. I have a feeling this might be the case with this one. Once you've seen it 2 or 3 times, you're going to know what the film has for you, and you're probably going to like it better.
I think so, too. And, like, it's a good movie. Like, this is one that's going to go, I think, a little underrated for when we get, like, you know, all is said and done in the next, I don't know, 4 or 5 years of superhero movies. I think this one will be looked at fondly and be like, damn, like, that was one that was actually better than we thought at the time. Because we're getting so much crap and slop lately that it's nice and refreshing to just get a movie that was good. It wasn't too much. It wasn't too little. It was just good. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
Focuses on its character, develops her well, gives her a good story, doesn't give her a complete story, which actually in this case I think is good, because you don't just get over survivor's guilt in a 3-day adventure. Like, you can get on the path to it, but clearly if she shows up in Man of Tomorrow, her arc will continue there as she continues to build herself. And that's an important distinction to make there. This adventure is over and she found a path, but she hasn't completed her, but she's not finished with her hero's journey yet.
Right. So we'll see. Maybe she will, maybe she won't. I don't think it'll be tremendously surprising either way.
Yeah. No. I think in general it did about what it needed to for most of it. It just wasn't the film that people were looking for, if they were even looking for it, who knows. I think, like, the thing I've seen online that most people are saying most of all is probably this movie should have just been made for half the budget it had, instead of 170 something million be made for 80 and then just, like, see what would have happened. Because if it's made for half the budget, its poor ticket sales wouldn't have mattered.
And that's the problem with, like, the marketing and stuff, right? Like, they probably threw 50, 70, 80 million in marketing at this, and it just didn't sell for people. You know, you could tell by the ticket sales, and that was a waste. Like, you could have given it a couple of good releases, you know, the Super Bowl commercial, like, you know, whatever, but you didn't have to keep doing what you did, because now you put yourself in the hole in a movie that people were probably unsure about anyway, because it's Supergirl.
Yeah.
It's not Superman. And, you know, bullshit superhero movie, just see it, but, like, that's the way some people are gonna think.
I agree with you on that, unfortunately. So it does put the DCU on shakier ground right now, although I don't think too bad. Superman was a huge success. People have liked Creature Commandos and Peacemaker. Lanterns is coming up on HBO, and then the next big one is gonna be big one, quote unquote, is Clayface, and that was made for only $40 million, so it doesn't really have to do much to clear its budget.
It doesn't. And that one, from the little teaser trailer we've gotten for that, it looks pretty interesting and good.
And they're releasing it around Halloween, which for a horror movie, perfect. Yeah, we'll hopefully do well, and then everything will be continuing onwards at that point, so we'll see. But if you haven't seen it yet, Supergirl was decent. Maybe go think about seeing it in theaters. You'll probably have a decent time.
Yeah, agreed. And, you know, if you want to pony up for the IMAX, visually it was stunning. But if, you know, you want to go and see it in the matinee for $12, it's absolutely worth it. So, you know, enjoy it. It's a good movie.
It was fun. This has been Not So Live from Asteroid G, finding our own Red Sun and getting cronk. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
Your buddy, Mike the Ghoul here, going to get out of here and go jump on his chopper motorcycle and swing around a giant flail mace of a hook to hook people as a bounty hunter through like Lobo. And
we will see you all next time.